Father, we pray now that you touch each one of these people, your people. Lord, because they are yours, Lord, we know that no man can pluck them out of your hand. And we thank you, Lord. Father, we pray, God, that you touch each one of us till we're changed, till we're delivered, until we're healed, until we're set free, until we have the joy of the Lord to be our strength, until we have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Father, we pray now in the name of Jesus that you give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my tongue be the pen of a ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearers be the tablet on which I shall write upon the word of faith, the word of God, inspired by your Holy Spirit, guided by him, the Spirit of truth. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers us, cleanses us, cures us, and connects us to you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you woke us up this morning and started us on our way. We thank you for another opportunity to praise and to worship your holy name. We thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that you've arisen and that your enemies have scattered. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you that you looked over the celestial banisters of heaven and poured us out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive. Father, we thank you, God. Father, we ask you now, Lord God, that you would just rain on us. Pour out your blessings upon us, Lord. Pour out your anointing upon us. Thank you for the preaching, the anointing that makes preaching easy. Thank you for the preached word, the taught word, the exalted word. We thank you, Lord. We give you glory now. And Father, after you've done all you wanted to do in this service, after you saved, healed, delivered, set free, blessed us, we'll be careful to give you the glory, honor, and the praise. And we will join with the many-winged seraphim and the many-eyed cherubim that chant and declare one to another that you are holy. You're holy, God. You're holy, God. And your glory fills the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you from this simple thought and a subtopic. The church that almost died. Sub, don't pull the plug yet. And when you begin to hold fast to that, he says, not only do you need to remember, but you need to repent. And I know many of us in here today, is not. Now, I'm not talking about anybody here, but many people today, they feel like no need to repent. That goes to show you that when we start talking about people and they start saying, you know what, we don't judge me and this and that, and stuff like that. You know what, I need to let you know that the Bible declares that we ought to be able to judge some things. And the rest of the things God already judged, preached. And so all I'm doing is reminding you what God already said about what he said. I wish I had somebody. And so that ought to lead us to repent. If we don't give a friendly reminder to one another, then we can go off the deep end. If we don't give a friendly reminder, I wish I had somebody. If somebody don't remind me, I may just walk off into a hellacious place and die. I wish I had somebody, but somebody got to remind me to stay on track. Somebody got to remind me that I must forgive. Somebody got to remind me that I must turn the other cheek. Somebody got to remind me that I must pray for them that despitefully use me. Do I have anybody in here? Somebody has to remind me that I got to let go and let God have his way. Somebody has to remind me. But if I don't get a reminder, sometimes I do what I want to do. You know how it is. That's why, I'm so busy at times I have to set all kind of reminders in my phone. And so that when my reminders come up, it reminds me that I need to be doing something. I'm getting ready to do something. Don't you know that if we get so busy in what we're doing that we'll forget a whole bunch of stuff? We'll forget because we're frail people. Our minds are finite. We are fragile and we'll forget a whole bunch of stuff. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God that we get reminded sometimes. And when we're reminded, then we can repent. And then he says, if therefore thou shall not watch. Look at this here. He gives them this. He said, if you don't take your medicine, if you don't get what I'm telling you right now, I'll come as a thief. And thou shall not know what hour I'll come upon thee. What is Jesus saying to them? He's saying, I'm going to make you like people in the world. Because the Bible says that the day, he said, I'll come as a what? Thief in the night. But guess what? He tells the Christian, he tells the believer, he said, that day shall not overtake you as a thief. Why does he say that? Because we walk in the light. And if we walk in the light, we can't be taken as a thief in the darkness. Help me, Holy Ghost. And so he said, if you don't repent, if you don't watch, if you don't pray, if you don't get some things in line, he's saying that we'll be just like the world and we won't know that he's coming. Help me, Holy Ghost. He said, I come upon thee. He said, you won't even know what hour it is that I come upon you. You know how a person, you know, let me say, I've never been to the boat, but I've talked to people that's been there, and they say that there's no clocks on the wall. And I used to work with this lady. She said that I didn't even know I was supposed to be at work yesterday because I was at the boat all night, and I thought it was Wednesday and didn't realize it was Thursday. And so I had to miss work, and now I need some money because I blowed all my money at the boat. What happened to her? She was not aware because she didn't have a reminder. She didn't have a clock to go by. She was just there doing her thing. And guess what? We can be the same way in this world. We can be going about our business, doing our own thing, and not know what time it is. I remember back in the day when I was growing up, the brothers used to say, boy, you know what time it is. In other words, you know what's going on. You know what's up. Come on and say amen here. And so he says, thou shalt, he said, I'll be like a thief coming in the night, and you will not know what hour I'll come upon thee. Verse 4 says, thou hast a few names in Sardis. Now, he begins not only to talk or give them the prognosis, but he tells them the prescription. But then he goes on to start talking about some promises. He said, you have a few names in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Now, we know some people always say that, you know, you ain't really worthy. But you know what? I was worth something. He thought I was worth something. Saving. So he came and gave his life. We need to understand today that we are worth something because God looked at us. He looked beyond my faults, saw my needs. He saw that I was in need of a Savior. He sent the very best in his son Jesus, who hung, bled, and died on the cross, but resurrected on the third day and got up with all power in his hand. He said that there are a few of you in Sardis that hadn't defiled their garments. There's some people that's trying to do the right thing. You know, the world is doing what the world wants to do. And the world has invaded the church, and the church does what the world wants it to do. We have some people that have to be a remnant for God. We have to have some people that say, I'm going to do what God say do anyway. I don't care what the world says. And you know what's going to happen when you decide to do what God say do? Then the world, they're going to mock you. And you know what else is going to be worse than that? The people in the church, they're going to mock you, preach. There are some people that are going to say, oh, you think you too much. Are you going too far with that? That's not what God meant. See, y'all, that old stuff, I ain't got time for that. But I want you to know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said that I am the Lord and I change not. God does not change because we want to change. All this talk about how we evolved. I've evolved to this. I've evolved to believe that. I've evolved to see this. You know what? I don't want to evolve that way. I want God to change me. He didn't tell me that I had to evolve. He told me that I had to be changed. Oh, come on and say amen. He said that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In other words, in the twinkling of an eye, God said that I'm going to change you. God does not have to wait to change you. He can change you just like that. You don't have to evolve. Come on and say amen. But when I make a revolve, a revolution, I come on and say amen. When I revolve around the word, when I revolve around the light of God, I can't remain the same. I begin to grow. I begin to understand. I begin to know the truth because the Holy Ghost gives me the truth, and I realize that the truth will make me free. I don't say set, because if I'm set, that means he opened the door and left me in the cage. But when they say make me free, he opened the cage, took me out, and threw me up in the air and say, you're free. Praise the Lord, I'm free, no longer bound, no more chain. Y'all don't hear me this morning. We got to understand there are some promises. He says that if you keep yourself clean, if you try to do the right thing, he said that you don't defile your garment, and he said you'll walk with me in white. White was given to people who were dignified, dignitaries, people who were important, people who were pure, people who the king had favor on. He put them in white. In that day, the Romans would put people in white, and they would have certain celebrations because they would say that these people are pure people. Come on and say amen. And so he said they put them in white, for they are worthy. They're worthy to wear the white. They're worthy to look good. They're worthy. Not only are they wearing white, but they're wearing what Jesus is wearing. They're wearing the same kind of garment. I don't know about you. I don't want to wear what the world gives me to wear, but I want to wear what God has given me to wear. I want to look like Jesus. What is the main goal? I know all those years we've been talking about, and I'm about to mess up some theology here, but we've been talking about heaven is our goal, but my goal is to look like Jesus. That should be every Christian's goal. And if you look like Jesus, then heaven will come to you. I wish I had somebody. But if we look like Jesus, that's why he said that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. What is he saying there? He said we've fallen short of the mark. What is the mark? The mark is to look like Christ. Even David said, I want to arise in thy likeness. We need to look like him. Paul said, no longer I. In Galatians 2 and 20, he said, but Christ on the inside of me. It got to a place where the apostles began to look like Jesus, because they had said that, which one of them is it? Judas had to show him which one. He had to kiss Jesus to prove that he was the Christ. I wish I had somebody. Have you been walking with Jesus enough that people mistake what you say and do for him? Preach, come on and say amen. Have you been walking with Jesus enough that they get you confused with the preacher? Oh, come on and say hallelujah here. Oh, come on and give God some glory. Oh, yeah. He says in verse 5, he said that he that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. He said not only are the ones that walking right now going to get the white raiment, but the ones that are able to overcome. Now, what are you saying, preacher? The ones that's able to overcome the world, the ones that are able to overcome what people have said. Are you able to overcome the opinions of others? Preach. Because sometimes we don't do stuff because of what other people think. Some of us can't even lift our hands in church because we're afraid of what the person on the pew with us think. Some of us won't even shout hallelujah because we think somebody gonna wonder why we're shouting. Some of us, we can't even cry in church without trying to run away so nobody will see us crying. So what if they see your tears? God sees them too. And every tear has a testimony. Every tear is like prayers being said to God. The Bible even tells us in the book of Revelation that the Lord will wipe away all our tears. So God sees them. I don't care what people see, because I'm in the spiritual hospital. I need help. Don't you know that some of us are so afraid? Some of us are afraid of other folks seeing us. When you go to the hospital, strangers tell you to put out your clothes. Strangers tell you to put on a gown. They pull the covers back. Strangers pull up all your clothes. They look at you, preach. But one thing we got to realize, if we need spiritual help, go to the spiritual hospital. And I don't care if I have to get naked before God. I'm talking spiritual here. Then God sees me already. And who cares? All of y'all need to be hospital workers. You need to help me get healthy. You need to help me stay alive. You need to learn some CPR spiritually. You need to learn how to resuscitate me if I faint. I wish I had somebody. Anybody in the house today? I'm not worried. Tell your neighbor, I'm not worried what you think about me. I believe that I can get right before God and do whatever I need to do. Do I have anybody here? He said that you'll have the promise. He said that if you overcome, I'm going to clothe you in white raiment. I'm going to clean you up. Oh, come on and say amen. He said, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Now, some people says that we have eternal security. Now, let me tell you about eternal security. There is eternal security for the believer, but not for the make believer. You know how it is, the make believer. I want to make you believe I'm saved. So I quote all these scriptures, but inside I'm like dead man's bones. Inside I'm full of mess and stress. Inside I'm full of all kind of hate. Inside I'm full of all kinds of bitterness. I really don't believe, because I can quote one thing and do another without even batting an eye. Preach, in here. He said that there is no security for that person. He tells us that his name shall be blotted out the Lamb's book of life. See, your name has been written, and it hadn't been written by an angel. It's been written now by God. But if you don't complete your course, if you don't complete what your race you're supposed to run, then guess what? He wipes it out. Do I have anybody here? If you don't learn how to overcome this thing, if you don't understand that God is telling us that your name is written, he said, but I will confess you before my Father and the angels. What is Jesus saying here? Jesus is reminding me that many shall say, Lord, Lord, and shall not enter into the kingdom of God. He said, they're going to say, we prophesied in your name. I preached. They're going to say we cast out devils in your name. That goes to show you in the day we live in that there are going to be people who are really not chosen, who are really not people of God, that's going to be able to do miracles, but only the ones who are able to stand, only the elect will be able to know that these people aren't real. Come on and say amen here. He said, I will confess you before my Father. He said, if all of those that say, Lord, Lord, shall not enter into the kingdom of God, they will prophesy in my name. They shall cast out devils in my name. They shall heal the sick in my name. They'll do all these things in my name. But he said, I'm going to tell them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never did know you. In other words, the word know there is means that they never had an intimacy. We never was close. You know how it is when you know somebody. Yeah, I know them, but we ain't never hung out together. Yeah, I know them, but we ain't never slept in the same house together. Yeah, I know them, but we ain't never went on a trip together, never rode together, never ate together. Oh, come on and say amen here. What Jesus is saying is that you may say you know me, but boy, I don't know you. You know how you talk to somebody and you say, you know so-and-so, you know Al Holden? Yeah, I been know Al. That's what they say, I been knowed Al. Oh, come on and say amen. But they don't really know me, because I don't talk to them. They don't have my phone number. They don't know where I grew up. They don't know how many sisters I got. They don't know how many kids I got. Somebody say amen. They don't even know my address, but yet they know me. They don't know where I buy my clothes, but yet they know me. What I'm trying to say here is that you ought to know Jesus, and Jesus ought to know you. If he hadn't had a chance to interfere in your life and tell you what to do, counsel you when you need it, comfort you when you feel down, lift you up and turn your life around. If you never had an experience with the Lord, then he don't know you. Oh, come on and say, yeah. I don't understand how we let people tell us about our God and they don't even know him. I don't understand how we let people pray for us and they don't even go to church. I don't understand how we let people counsel us and they don't know who we are and don't know whose we are. They don't know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Do I have any witness? Come on and say yes. Look at what he says. He said, I confess you before my Father and before his angels. In other words, I'm not ashamed of who you are. Look at what Jesus is saying. Even though he know everything you did, I know all your faults. I know when you rise up. I know when you go and lay down. I know all your times when you fall short of the glory. But I'm still going to confess that you're my child. Do I have anybody that say, I'm thankful that God knows all that I've done and he still loves me? Greater love had no man than this, than a man will lay down his life for his friends. Do I have anybody that say, I know a friend that's sticking closer than any brother? Do I have anybody that say, I know a man from Galilee that gives sight to the blind, that fed 5,000 with two fish and five barley loaves, who walked about doing good, who raised the dead man on during his funeral, who went to Lazarus, told him to move the stone, called him from the grave, who gave blind Bartimaeus sight back to him, who had a time when he touched the man and told him, rise up, take up your bed and walk, who opened deaf ears. Do I have anybody that know this man, the one I'm talking about, that had a woman with an issue of blood for 12 long years? When she touched him, she was made whole. He went to Jairus' house and raised his daughter up from the dead, touched Peter's mother-in-law with a fever about to die, and she was able to get up and cook him some food. Do I have anybody that say, I know him? If you know the Lord, why don't you say yes? Say yes. He said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the church. Anybody hear what the Lord is saying? He said, even though you're about to die, I'm not pulling the plug yet, because there's still hope. I wish I had somebody. He said, tribulation, work it patience, experience, and experience hope. And I have a hope that make me not ashamed. What are you talking about, preacher? I have hope that won't disappoint me. I have faith that won't let me down. When people walk out on me, I still have joy, because I got the Lord on my side. Somebody said in Romans about chapter 8, he said, if God be for me, then who can be against me? I don't care who comes against me. I'm not worried about no haters. I'm not worried if they don't like me. That's their problem. They're not my problem. But what I know is, if God's on my side, everybody else might as well be. He told me in his word that he loved me so much that I'm now persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, y'all help me preach it, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, height, depth, or any other creature, that includes all of you, and some of them too, shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. When I go through my trials, I say he loves me. When I go through disappointment, I'm reminded he loves me. He won't leave me, not like I am. When I'm sick in my body, I say he loves me. When the enemy comes in, I say he loves me. Somebody here need to hear what I'm saying. I don't know where you are in life, but he loves you. You may be the worst, but God loves you. You may not do what they want you to, but God loves you. They may talk about you like you got a tail, but God loves you. Somebody say yeah. They may call you everything but a child of God, but he loves you. Say yeah. Say yes. I know he's all right. Won't God love you? Won't God keep you? Won't God bless you? Won't God save you? Won't he pick you up? Won't he turn you around? Won't God place your feet on solid ground? Won't God do it when they leave you for dead? Let's ask Paul. Come here, brother Paul. When they stoned you and they left you for dead, God said no. Some disciples went. They gathered around Paul and said, God said, don't pull the plug yet. Even though he looked dead, he got back up. Get back up to the city, started preaching the uncompromising word. Do I have anybody? Folks counted you out, said that's it for you. They said he lost it all. She ain't no good. That's the end of it. It's over now. But I give you to say it's not over. Ain't no fat lady singing, it's not over. Somebody say yeah. The reason why the fat lady can't sing is because my Savior said that in the last day, with the trump and the voice of an archangel, if he hadn't said it yet, I still have a chance. Say yeah. Say yeah. I know he's all right. Do you know he's all right? He promised you he'll never leave you, nor will he forsake you, but he'll be with you to the end of the world. Anybody ready? I'm ready for whatever it is, because God said he'll protect me. He'll hide me in the secret place. Do I have anybody that say, I feel like I've been hidden. I've seen the devil looking for me, but he can't see me, because my life is hidden in the word. Say yeah. Anybody here say, I'm hidden. They're looking for me. They're looking for you, but your life has been hidden in the word of God. Somebody say yeah. I know he's all right. Do you know he's all right? Say yes. Have you tried him? Is he able? Come on, help me close so God will let me go. I may not know. Tell your neighbor. Say neighbor. Oh, neighbor. Neighbor. I may not know three things. I may not know two things. But one thing I know. I know he's all right. Say, ain't he all right? Is he all right? Is he all right to live with? Is he all right to die with? Because he'll raise you up. Say yeah. Say yeah. I know he's all right. Anybody know it? It's time to celebrate. You know how it is when the doctor says no, but Jesus said yes. Don't pull the plug yet. I still have life. I still have a chance. I still got a chance to go ahead and praise him. I still have a chance to lift up the name. I still have a chance to say one more prayer. I still have a chance to get one more word. Say yes. Say yes. I know he's all right. Ain't the Lord all right? You still got a chance. Don't pull the plug yet. Tell your neighbor, the church almost died, but don't pull the plug yet. We got another chance to come out of this coma. We still got another chance to get out of this bed of affliction. We still got another chance to rise up and walk. We still got another chance. Say yes. Say yes. I know he's all right.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship,